You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Make some noise!
Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we talk about our trip at the Philadelphia Convention Center for the Soccer Coaches Convention, where our Airbnb also terrified us and almost killed us. so many damn moves. Atlanta United, Barca watches over, David Akam, Ola Kamara. Some people want to stay in Columbus. Some people want to leave. And also, little baby Jack, don't go to Stoke.
Please don't go. In the second segment, we talk to E. Boone over at Live Breathe Football. If you don't know who they are, they're basically the clothing version of the Cooligans. Check it out. It was really cool. We got to meet with them down in Philly. We got to hang out in their booth. They're doing big things. We're doing big things. We put all those big things together. Check it out.
Big things.
Listen to that and more on this episode of the
Cooligans.
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
Hello.
Come
Hola.
On.
¿Qué tal?
¿Cómo está esta gente?
Yeah, this is the new all Spanish version of the Cooligans,
which is how you announce it in English.
Yeah, because you gotta warn people nowadays.
Yeah,
because you know how upset they get.
Triggered. They might get triggered. I voted specifically to not have to deal with this.
No, welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Yeah, my name is Alexis Guerrero.
Yes, we are your two favorite stand-up comedians that host a comedic soccer podcast. And
it's not just the funniest soccer podcast. Why don't you tell the people right now what this is?
It's the goddamn gulliest soccer podcast.
You're damn right, it's the gulliest goddamn soccer podcast.
You gotta whisper it all creepy too. You can't just say it.
Yo, you know who the fuck I am. I'm one half of the gulliest soccer podcast.
That's right. Wow.
Goddamn world.
Wow. Now we know how you dirty talking to with you. Now yeah.
Yes, I said mayo on that sandwich. Oh, you meant like with my wife?
Oh, no. That's exactly what I meant.
Okay, good.
I mean, you order sandwiches in the sexiest way possible. Yeah. I mean, and if you're not doing that, then just know that your deli guy is very, very upset with you.
He don't respect you like he respect me. I just want you to know that while he's making you a sandwich, he's thinking about me. You need to know that.
He's thinking about the sandwich he could be making you.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very jealous environment, those delis.
By the way, nothing has changed on this show. You tune in to hear about soccer eventually.
Maybe we'll get there. Maybe like 86 minutes in. Who knows?
Yeah, everybody slow down.
No, but a couple big announcements very quickly. At the top of the show, you probably already heard. The Cooligans are officially, because we've been in this new studio at Cumulus Media at the top of Madison Square Garden. And everybody was like, yo, what the hell is all this about?
How is that possible?
What are these guys doing? These guys, they were doing, a podcast out of their, dimly lit basement, you know? And now we're at the top of MSG. But so the reason that all of this was happening was because of what you heard at the top of the show. The Cooligans are officially a part of the OG podcast network,
That's
original
right.
podcast network, which is a new podcast network started by the people at Cumulus Media.
Yep.
Mike Coscarelli is our producer.
By the way, we mentioned him on the show so many times. Very funny comic. Go out, watch his YouTube videos if he has any. If he says anything offensive, I'm so sorry that I told you to go watch it. But he is a very funny comic.
And
we were, he kind of started talking to us about just our podcast in general. And we were happy to talk about it with anyone in comedy because most people are like, oh, you talk about soccer? Yeah, I'm done. I'm not listening anymore. But he was really interested. And we didn't know that he was putting together this YouTube channel, which is really exciting.
Yeah. YouTube channel, podcast network. I mean, there'll be videos too, and all that stuff.
We're doing a lot.
But it's a thing that it's the reason we're here. It's why we've been able to level up, as they say.
Oh, yeah.
And we've been able to, like, you know, now we're in a proper space where guests that we're trying to book are not like, no, I'm not going to your dimly lit basement. No, thank you.
Yeah. Like when we talked to, like, it was no secret that Kyle Martino was supposed to be in studio. Obviously, schedule changed the last minute. He wasn't able to make it. But when we were talking to him, I highly doubt that it would have needed a schedule change versus a just definitive no. Had we been like, no, come to my apartment in Brooklyn. Buddy, I got a wall with soccer cards on it.
Come through, dog. I think you're on this wall, yeah, man.
You're somewhere on this wall, dog. Why don't you come through? Wash, you take your shoes off. Have some respect. Also, okay. You got bed bugs? Like, I don't want you in my apartment.
Yo, I mean, we have to ask every guest if they walk in.
And if you look slick at any of my wife's stuff, you're getting duffed right there.
In the news, very just right away. Cavertino gets duffed by the Cooligans.
What is duffed? Listen in.
Like, more today. Tune in at 11.
Everything changes when you allow gully people into the soccer world.
So, go to ogpodcastnetwork.com. Make sure you follow at ogpodcasts, that's plural podcasts, on all the social media channels. There's a bunch of great shows on the network. Joanne Reed, who she runs a show on MSNBC. She's a popular political analyst. And there's comedy, there's comic books.
There's food stuff, why am I not involved?
We got to get on all these other shows. There's the Well Read podcast, which is the...
A lot of people might have heard about that. That one's a very, very popular one.
Yeah, the guys from what are they called? The liberal redneck. He has those Facebook videos where they're
super viral.
Super viral videos of just rednecks being reasonable. That would be the name of the show. Rednecks being reasonable.
Which is... I would tune into that just to see if it was real or not.
So there's a bunch of other great shows.
Shouts to Nashville SC.
If you like, if you want to hear some other comedy podcasts, there's an MMA podcast, politics, news, there's everything. So go and support them because you will be supporting us while you do the same thing. So we're very, very excited about that. And going forward, it's gonna be huge. There's gonna be a lot of new opportunities because of all of this. So thank you again to all the people who are listening. The reason we are in this studio, the reason we are a part of this podcast network, is because you've been supporting us, and you're supporting soccer, and we're trying to find new avenues for soccer to be a part of the normal pop culture conversation. And
is it a struggle sometimes.
It's a struggle because we try to talk about it and people are like, huh, what, who?
You're like, dude, we're having a pop culture conversation. Why would you? I thought you said pop culture, by the way. It's a guy holding a little baby dog. I'm an idiot. We try to have pop culture conversations and we try to interject like, what else is funny? Diego Rossi's only 18 years old. And people are like, why are you talking about your Uruguayan soccer players?
Yeah, why are you ruining our time right now?
Also, what are you drinking out of that gourd? And I'm like, mate, anybody want some? That's how you get it.
So that's going to be the future of the Cooligans and the OG Podcast Network, and that union is going to be strong.
Oh, baby.
All right, so let's go. There's a bunch of things to talk about because... We were in Philadelphia.
We were in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, Eagles country, where they got to grease up the poles.
Because people
climbing up, putting up, pro rail banners up. Yeah. You know how it is.
People just driving trucks with video screens on the side of them. By the way, that is not how you change U.S. soccer.
Okay, and if you weren't following us on Instagram,
everyone's talked about it now, though.
Yeah, they've. Even Eric Winalda had to be like, yo, it wasn't me. Yeah, he had to do the shaggy.
He legit was like, look, I liked it, but I got nothing to do with it.
I support it completely, but I am not complicit in its existence.
I love everything it said. I wish I was involved. And
why didn't Westerville hit me up? Because I really wanted to be involved in that.
I mean, whoever did do that, and I think Jay Riddle said this too. It's like, that money could have gone and helped develop youth players or kids that can't afford to go to, academies or something. It's like, come on.
And so if you don't know what we're talking about, so let's start from the beginning, right? Because we went to Philly for the United Soccer Coaches Convention, which was held kind of in concurrently with the
the MLS Super Draft and the NWSL Draft. There was just a lot of stuff going on, and it was cool. We had a lot of fun just being there, and I sort of, I don't know how you felt, but I didn't exactly know what to expect. I hear a soccer coaches convention. I'm like, all right, how quickly before I can take a nap during one of these seminars?
Oh, immediately. See, when I heard that, I was like, all right, cool. So what? We get sandwiches or something with like Tata Martino? Is it that kind of soccer?
Yeah, you're right.
Soccer coaches convention.
You were way more optimistic.
Yeah, I was like, yo, Thierry Henry gonna be there. We'll just be like, yo, Thierry, we need an interview. He'll say yes.
Hang out with us. Yeah.
He legit walked in a back door, did his talk, filled the room. And I'm not kidding. I heard a helicopter take off from the top of the Philadelphia Convention Center.
Sure. He just rode away with one of the Koch brothers. Like, oh, wow. Okay.
A Garber buck falls out of it and lands in front of us.
Oh, man. I would love to see an actual currency of Garber bucks.
Oh, buddy, if Bitcoin is making money, you know Garber bucks is going to discretionary money, baby.
So, yes. So we were there. It was held at the Philadelphia Convention Center.
We did a show, and
we
blew the doors off this fucking thing. I mean,
yeah, we literally blew the door. They had to. Yeah. I mean, we had to reimburse them for
it. I was like, why did you do that to the doors? We were like, I thought that's what you're supposed to do when you do really well.
Yes. So that was our initial reason for being there, because we were doing a stand-up show for some of the coaches of the United Soccer Coaches Convention. So,
and some general public was there, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we had a very good time. And shout out to the homies. Total Soccer Show, Daryl Grove and Taylor Rockwell.
Oh, as they said on their podcast, and I will reply back, we're happy to be your best friends. Thank you so much. We are your best friends. And you're our best friends now as well.
We hung out. They came to the show. So did Jason Davis of Sirius XM.
Who is forever the homie.
We all got to get matching tattoos or something because it was.
We all got to get like a pizza, but each of us are missing a slice, and that's the slice.
The bond is strong. That's all I'm saying. All I'm telling everybody right now, the state of soccer media.
Oh, buddy.
Is doing quite well.
Soccer new media.
That's right.
Because old media is still hold door. Not trying to let us in. But new media, we cool with.
Yeah. We're the NWO of soccer media. All right. Everybody, we're taking over. We're gonna be telling Men in Blazers to suck it while we do a damn. Yeah.
Like, can we be the NWA? Tell you how it really is in these streets.
Yeah, exactly. But we gotta tell Daryl Grove, like, hey man, you can't use those words so casually.
Your accent, first of all, it sounds beautiful, but also sounds very dangerous.
It's NWA, but there's stipulations.
And Jason Davis can, because his girl Puerto Rican. You're allowed to do it once, my dude. We give you the pass.
Go for it, right? Well, probably not. But I mean,
please don't.
We have to just clarify, because we're a comedian and we're joking around, but like it could lead to some serious issues.
Yeah.
So yes, we were there. We had a great time. The show was great.
What other soccer podcast gives people the N-word pass? Alive on the air.
I mean, the ones that do, we probably don't want to listen to. No. Those are probably not good ones.
Boy, that one's really deep in the heart of the South, that podcast you guys are listening to.
So the show was a lot of fun, and it was cool. We got to hang out with them, and it was interesting doing stand-up comedy for a bunch of soccer coaches, because it definitely felt initially like they were not particularly
fond of the idea of comedy.
They weren't interested in really just laughing a whole bunch, because
they're so stoic.
Yeah,
I feel like you can't. They don't leave it on the field. They walk around
it to the comedy clubs.
Like, I'm a coach.
I'm a coach. I'm a coach forever. I'm a coach when I shower. I'm a coach when I poop. I'm always a coach.
When I'm having sex with my significant other, I'm like, no. Other hole.
You didn't cut when you really should.
Look, I got the whiteboard here. some X's and O's, and your foot's in the wrong place.
They were a little, you know, making a sex pun, a little stiff, yeah. but I think they came around, and they were
also
another. they were cool. They weren't at like, you can tell the difference between like the regular audience and then the coaches. And I made a joke at the top of my set where I said, I was like, who is here for the coaches convention?
Yeah.
And the only people who raised their hands were the white men.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh interesting. The white men. It's very representative of the state of U.S. soccer. Yeah.
Jonathan Gonzalez is like, see?
So it was,
we Skyped them in.
So it was interesting because they didn't like that joke at all. No. I mean, I was looking right at them, and I'm like, and the people who laughed the hardest were Jason Davis and Taylor and Darryl.
Taylor and Darryl,
which was great. Which again, just is representative of the state of soccer media at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also kind of like, this goes to show the battle that we're fighting. In a very real sense, it's like we're trying to do something that's new and exciting, and you know, we're not, you know, I don't know exactly what to say just after this, but we're trying to do something that's new and exciting, and maybe it's not as always as welcome, because I think it is new and exciting. It's not necessarily who we are or what we are. I think it's just that it's new and it's different. And when you're sitting there, you're like, you literally in real time see the old guard and the new, and like the new guard coming up, and you're like, oh. There's a big generational gap here.
Well, you know? Even in a very analytical and almost serious note, being at the convention, it was everyone there is pretty much a soccer coach. We met everyone from all over the country.
All over.
And it was really cool to experience that and see what, I mean, these are the people on the forefront of what about what soccer is going to look like in the next like decade for that next generation. So these people are important. A lot of them are voters for the upcoming election. But it was as just a soccer fan and definitely, I'm as a comedian and being there as like a part of the media and stuff like that, I was way more, I felt more a part of the culture than ever. Man, this is like all these people. And like, I'm joking around. I'm like, oh, these are all at the show. It was all old white men. But it's like, the point I'm trying to make is that
it's all old white men.
No, it's mainly, it's not even the white men thing. It's really the age, right? It's all older white men, probably, you know, and just like anything, they maybe think a little differently and think a little bit more traditionally. But when you're actually in the convention, how many non-white men did we see? I mean, there were a lot of women.
The dudes that work for La Liga. there was a lot of women because the NWSL draft was also happening.
Yeah, but the majority when we were at the seminars, how many people were really there that were not white?
Yeah,
and very very few. And it also kind of begs the question of like, well, who's coaching the kids as well? Because it's the majority. It's very very homogenous.
Yeah, and also all jokes aside, why are young Latin players maybe not? And maybe it's not an issue.
Jokes aside on this comedy podcast, no more jokes.
All jokes aside, forever. This is not the Goliest. No, but like, why are some of these young Latin or even black or anything, Asian, you know, Indian, anything at all, players maybe not, I don't know, bonding as strongly with the U.S. like we've seen examples of in the past. Could it possibly be the fact that maybe there's no coach that represents who they are.
Doesn't
looks like them,
talk like them, look like them. Maybe doesn't relate in the same way.
Yeah, you know, which is what I'm saying. We need more hood ass coaches, man.
We do.
I would have never played soccer.
Yeah, my coach got a goatee. I respect him.
Who's my coach? The dude with the grill. That's my coach. You don't see him? You got to look past him. And even he's rolling on dunks right now.
Excuse me, Coach Wall. I mean, call me Paul Wall.
Yeah. Call me Paul. Okay. Cool.
So, look, it is. It was. Being from like the outside in, it was the first time we'd ever been at something like that. And I wouldn't say, I think for a lot, there were a lot of people that were excited to meet us. They were like, hey, we heard your show, and they were big fans. And that was amazing. We didn't expect that many people within the soccer community cared.
Yeah, I think one of the things that surprised me the most is not the fact that people knew us. It's the fact that, like, people were kind of referencing things we've done.
Yeah.
And, like, people were, like, looking at us like, oh, you're here? You know?
Sure.
I was like,
they were like, get out.
Why are you here? Is really what we've dealt with for a long time. But, you know, people being like, whoa.
Yeah.
the Cooligans are here, you know? That was something that was really cool. I mean, you know, and also, you know, we're going to be talking to them at the end of this podcast, but shouts to Eboon and all the guys at Live Breathe Football, and even the dudes at Adidas. They were like, hey, do you want to use this space for interviews? Like, people know what
they
we're going to do now.
So, wildly nice. I was just like, I'm not used to this at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like it, you know? It's so much easier being the underdog, you know?
So,
but yeah, we had a good time. Look, we had a good time on the stage. Shouts to those two guys for saying we were funny. They came up to us and they were very complimentary. All three guys, I should say, were very complimentary afterwards. And we hung out with them. We went drinking till like, what, 3 a.m?
Yeah.
It was crazy. And then we go to our Airbnb, which we didn't check in yet.
Soccer media gets it in,
if you got an open bar, you better watch. You watch your funds,
dog. Soccer podcasts are coming for them drinks, yo. Vodka and soda.
New media is taking all your booze. Tam. Your alcohol allocated.
Yo, son, get them open bar budgets up.
Yeah. Because we are DP drinkers, my dude. That's what we do.
Okay.
We went out, we hung out, and then we went to our Airbnb, which we did not check into yet. Also, we got it like moments before.
Last year we had the joke about going to the All-Star game and the Airbnb, the whole debacle. And we actually we legit had an Airbnb debacle this time.
We had a full-blown debacle this time. We rented a place like right next to the convention center in like little old Philly.
Center City,
right.
Yeah.
And no parking anywhere to be found. We ended up having to throw it in the lot. So we're walking. It's like 3 a.m, exhausted. We went to CVS to get like shampoo and stuff
toothpaste.
That we didn't have. Toothpaste.
Yeah. Condoms, obviously.
A condom. We got to get those. Keep it straight. please don't do that on this show because my wife listens to this. God damn it.
She needs to know.
Yeah. I can't quit you. We go, it's on the third floor, but like the place is basically like an Airbnb hotel where I think the owner lives on the first floor. So we go up to the top, third floor, and as soon as we get in, we put our stuff down, we figure out whose bed is who. I go to lay down, all you hear is,
it's a sound you hear in like, before Jason Voorhees appears. Yeah, I mean, legit, the scariest noise ever.
And you're just like, is that going to stop? So we waited a little bit to see if it stopped. There was nowhere to hide it. I opened the windows to see if it was outside. Clear it came from inside the building.
Uh-huh.
We tried to shut off one of the like fans.
Yeah,
or something.
We thought it was like a ceiling fan making like a weird noise.
So we shut that off. He shut that off because he's a little taller than me. He shut it off. And we realized that the noise is still coming from the second floor.
It's even louder this time. Yeah,
for some reason, that fan was helping drown it out. So it's 3 a.m. We have to wake up at like 8 to check. We got to check out by 10. Like, we literally rented a place to sleep for 4 hours and maybe shower. So we went downstairs, second floor. We go in there, and we can clearly hear the noises coming from the room, but we don't want to go in the room.
Yeah.
It's somebody's room. But we see the key downstairs, and we're like, oh, if the key's in the door the way ours was, maybe no one's in here. So I was like, all right, go ahead, Christian. And Christian backs up behind me and goes, yeah, go ahead. And I was like, no, you go ahead. It's 3 a.m. I'm not going in somebody's room at 3 a.m.
Yeah, so we ended up going. We opened this.
We got our flashlights from our phone.
Opened this door, yeah. Because the key was in the door, right?
Yeah.
So then we go in, and it was vacant. So it's like, it's essentially like,
but
this.
It's dark.
Everything's dark.
It looks like what's it, Blair Witch Project.
Legit. Witch with the light, with our iPhone flashlight.
And also the sound is super loud.
Loud.
Open this door. It's loud, to the point where like you feel like it's gonna harm your ears.
Yes, it's imagine you're in darkness. There's only lights. It's just like and you're just hearing this loud.
It's like some Stranger Things thing.
And then we realize it's coming from the bathroom.
They have like this like pod unit that's like a steamer and shower all in one. They were really cheesy looking. Definitely looks like really European. Looks like some Romanian hostel. I open it. And
now the sound is blaring.
Yeah, you have to open the door, and it is super loud. Like, I can't even be in the room. It's so loud. And Christian's like, well, shut it off. And it's like, the buttons are like in other languages. I'm like, I don't know how to shut this. I literally just start tapping on all these buttons, and it looks like a Fisher-Price shower set. Like, it's going to fall apart. I'm just hitting every button, and all of a sudden, I tap. I was hitting volume, everything. I hit a button, and it just stopped. And he goes, what'd you hit? And I go, I don't know, but let's get the fuck out of here. We just like ran out of that. And now it's like, what, 4:15 in the morning?
Yeah.
So we got to try to get sleep.
Yeah. So then, I don't think I told you, but the Airbnb host told me what it was. And apparently it was an alarm probably set, maybe hopefully accidentally, by the previous guest to, like, if you fall in the shower.
Yeah,
it's like an alarm to let people know that you fell in the shower and that you're stuck and can't get out.
Jesus.
So it's like a nightmare sound that you have to address. You can't ignore it.
Well, let me tell you something. It works.
It worked perfectly fine. Yeah. It was. We should have filmed it, but I was too scared to film.
So we also needed the flashlights, so we were going to be like selfieing it in case there's a guy with a bat.
Yeah. So So when you want to hear what was the most memorable moment of the United Soccer Coaches Convention and the MLS Super Draft, it is that.
That was it for us.
we were terrified. So let's get into the actual soccer.
Yeah, there's some news that we got to talk about. Some stuff keeps happening.
We want to take a break, but you know, the MLS offseason will not allow it.
Yeah.
So let's start. Just very quick, we can go through a little bit of the draft. The draft itself was we had to leave before the Super Draft, which was a bummer because after seeing it, I'm like, I wish we could have been there, but we just couldn't stay in Philly for it. But it was cool to see. We were there for the NWSL draft, and we hung out there for a while.
We got to see some of that, which was really dope.
Which is cool. Seeing
a lot of supporters, too, which was really cool. We posted some of that on our Instagram.
Yep. And but for the MLS Super Draft, there was a lot of NYCFC supporters came out. I saw there's a great video from the NYCFC Away Days.
Yeah.
They did a great little vlog of that experience. And
Anya did a great job with that.
Yeah, so definitely check that out. But the problem with the draft is that I feel like year after year it's becoming less and less significant. You're almost drafting a player to become a trialist
or like to put him in the USL team if you have one.
Yeah,
which to some degree is probably not a bad idea. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know what the hockey draftees do, but NFL drafts are kind of, you look for them to be starters.
Yeah.
You know, NBA, you look for them to be starters.
It's a big deal because that's the only way.
Baseball, you don't.
Baseball, yeah.
Also, nobody watches the draft. I don't think I've ever seen a draft.
I have not either.
Yeah.
Like maybe a highlight on ESPN or something like that, but it's not something I pay attention to.
Other than that pitcher from the Senators back in the day who was like a big, big get. Remember that guy?
From the Senators.
The Nationals.
You're talking about the Ottawa Senators in hockey.
Yeah, definitely not. I was thinking Washington. I thought of Senators because I was thinking of people who don't do their jobs. The Washington Nationals, they got that pitcher who I don't think ended up working out for them, but I remember he was like a huge name. That was the only time I ever heard
Steven Strasburg, I think you're talking about.
The only time I ever heard anyone care of a draft in baseball.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, soccer is going to be the same thing. I just don't understand why it exists, but it does seem fun. But I mean, everyone went up there.
The pageantry is kind of nice, but when you're getting some of the transfers that are, I mean, Baco,
the quality of players,
that are coming in from other sources, homegrown and from other countries, is really outshining any player you're going to get from the Super Draft. Unless there's
Remy Gard said that. He said he was like, why?
He's yeah,
like,
I said it to Remy Gard. He's repeating. Yeah. He's quoting me.
Well, it's about time he starts listening to the show. But he was like, yeah, I mean, why? He's like, I'm going to trade these away. He's like, who needs this shit? I'm paraphrasing.
It's just like, it's almost like when you collect like trading cards and you get doubles. You're just like, what? I got all of these. I'm just going to throw them.
I don't want none of this. None of these are Squirtles, you know? So you're just like, he said that he was going to, he's like, I'm trading these away. He's like, I got better stuff in my homegrown, in my academy. I don't need your college dropouts.
Yeah. You know? So during the draft, I don't know. It's tough because I don't know who really pays attention to college soccer. I don't watch it. I mean, I don't even know how to watch it, to be honest.
I mean, I don't want to watch it.
And it's also like, isn't it like the season like 6 weeks long and like 42 games?
Yeah.
they have more
games than classes in college. Yeah.
It's for some teams, it can be a big deal. LAFC, they had the first pick. They picked João Moutinho,
which clearly
from Akron,
because they don't have a lot of players. And he's clearly, there's like five or six players that were really big one. Baquero.
John Baquero, I think.
Yeah, he's clearly someone with a lot of skill. Tristan Chicago.
Tristan. That all the LAFC got two picks in the first round that they moved up for.
João Moutinho.
João Moutinho, he looks like He honestly looks like a John Stones, kind of center back that's pretty good on the ball. He goes up front, and he's a little more crafty than your traditional center back.
Yeah.
But he's still a kid, and I don't know how much time he's, real playing time he's going to get. But being the first pick, there's probably going to be some expectation of for his talent. So,
yeah.
But I think the bigger news out of the draft was really probably again Atlanta United. They do not allow the news cycle to go on without them.
MLS is Taylor Swift trying to get an award, and Atlanta United is Kanye West.
Yo, MLS, I know you're doing this whole super draft thing
I'm gonna let you continue, but first, I just want to
let you know that we signed Ezekiel Barco. Yeah. He's announced
and
it.
And he's more valuable than everything here now.
It was funny because we were talking about it last week, right? Because it was all basically in the news that it already happened, but Atlanta United had not announced it. And during the draft, your homie Darren Eales had the nerve. Susanna Collins interviewing him, saying, "Hey, what do you think of this draft? I know you guys got, there's a lot of things happening in Atlanta. Ezekiel Barco, you guys are getting Ezekiel Barco." So he goes, "Oh, that we can't respond to players that are not
under contract
on other teams." Then, 10 minutes later,
he said that, and then he held up his phone and hit tweet, and it said "We signed Ezekiel Barco." I was like, "What are you doing?
Why so coy, Mr. Eales?"
Susanna Collins would have had a scoop.
That would have been great. That would have been a nice little video, nice little clip on MLS.
She would have been shown all over MLS stuff.
You heard it here first from this British man.
Yeah, and he was like, "I don't know what you're talking about. We can't handle. We can't talk about players that are under contract elsewhere." Someone whispers in his ear, "We signed him like hours ago. What are you talking about?"
And then Atlanta United the web team, the social media team was still editing the video in Adobe Premiere.
Yeah.
It's
still exporting. It's like it's 90%. I can't.
Darren, you can't say it yet.
I use an old laptop. I mean, it's taking forever. But
and then they finally put it up, they had the jersey reveal in the locker. And of course everybody was very happy in Atlanta, in Georgia people are very impressed. But this is we mentioned this is a huge deal. He's the most expensive player to ever come to Major League Soccer. He's 18 years old, so much promise, and it seems like this is the precedent set of what the future of Major League Soccer will look like.
Is it though? I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of great articles. Gab Marcotti had one. The Dummy Run, which we retweeted, had one basically talking about how every other team has the ability to do this for the most part. A lot of other teams have the funds to do this, and they're not doing it. So is this the future?
Do they have the funds, though?
I mean, a lot of them do. Let's say we know NYCFC does. A lot of dead bodies in the oil fields. Sorry. It is what it is.
But look,
the thoughts or the expressions?
do not represent
OG Podcast or Cumulus Media.
Or New York City Football.
Or Christian Blanco.
He is alone on that. But,
but honestly, we know CFG has money. Clearly, they've got a lot of money because, City.
NYCFC is not the correct example of teams not spending money. They've Medina, who was Tinnerholm?
Joe Inge, guy from
Joe Inge,
Malm.
Barrett or something. Yeah. The NYCFC looks stacked.
They look stacked. But I will say, did you know that, and this is true, I think up until 2 or 3 days ago, all the other signings, including Diego Rossi and Medina and all these other guys, amounted to $5 million total. Ezekiel Barco.
Oh, okay.
$13
million. Yeah. I mean, no, obviously. It's a big.
We don't know these players as well because they're not leagues that we follow as strongly.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at someone like Jesus Medina and I'm like, oh my God. you know, this guy's going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, even Columbus Crew signed somebody, you know, $1 million 18-year-old. These are all huge. I mean, we don't want to discount these things. These are great. Clearly, NYCFC, I think, has had the best offseason of any team in the league. And that's not just saying because I'm a season ticket holder. That you look at that, what the gaps that they had in there,
yeah.
They filled in every hole.
And there's depth everywhere.
For sure. But, you know, you look at someone like Ezequiel Barco, this is a player on a different level, simply value-wise, not necessarily playing skill-wise, than everyone else.
Yeah.
Is that the future? Is the future really just a bunch of these sort of closer to $1 million buys? If that's the case, I think that's still an improvement for the league.
That's a great
sign,
yeah. But,
I mean,
yeah.
Or, you know, Arthur Blank is throwing money around like, you know, like he bought Bitcoin day one. You know, like he's like, look, buy, use it now.
I mean, it does look like, you know, having a guy like Darren Eales, especially come from Tottenham, know how the Premier League works, know how the world financial soccer market works, and I mean, and it's obvious that kind of money spent on a player that's not a player that's going to be there 10 years.
No,
it is a stopgap, not a stopgap. It's a stepping stone. It's a stepping stone for him. He's going to Europe. He'll probably be there 2, maybe 3 years. Almirón is probably leaving in the summer, or he's leaving at the following season, at the end of the season,
for sure.
So but as far as Major League Soccer becoming a place where they can be one of those ballers at the table,
yeah.
You know, when it's like, no, we got the money to be in this conversation. That I think is what the future of Major League Soccer
at the very
could
least,
be.
If MLS. Starts, especially MLS teams, can start to become a part of the conversation where, you know, not necessarily the Chinese Super League, where like, oh, if you don't want to pay him, we'll send him to China and he's going to make more money. Mm-hmm. And agents can use that as sort of a bargaining tool. But if MLS can start to become a part of the conversation as to, oh, you want to develop into a player that plays in Europe, you have some of those skills now, instead of being sent alone to Olympiacos or the Eredivisie or some of these other places, MLS can start to become one of those places where you can go and build your value as a player. That's massive.
That would be huge. And that
would be so big. Look, we'd have to get used to players only being here for 2 years, which kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be amazing. I mean, look at what we're dealing with Jack Harrison right now. You
oh,
know what I mean?
Speaking of players here for 2 years, I mean, don't break my heart, Alexis.
Jackie Harrison.
Jackie boy.
Going to Stoke.
Well, not yet. Nothing's official.
I mean, it's... You know, it's like your wife's packing, but the paperwork isn't in, so maybe I guess she's not getting divorced. Buddy, there's a truck backing up. You know what I mean? Yeah, it looks like he's gone. Kyle Aaron is the one who's going to stay. Kyle Aaron is never leaving MLS, whether he likes it or not. That dude's going to be 65.
Yeah.
And he's going to be in the front
being
office.
Stuck in MLS is his prison sentence for driving on the other side of the road.
That is it.
He's trapped here. So, but look, let's talk about Jack Harrison first, because as soon as I heard this, I'm like, baby Jack, yeah. Don't do this to me,
we
baby.
We need a burger after you. Where are you going?
Don't do this to me, baby. Jack Harrison, you know, winger for NYCFC, you know, selected in the 2016
First round by Chicago.
First pick by Chicago. NYCFC moves up and gets Jack Harrison. Turns out to be Generation Adidas. Turns out to be an absolutely great player. A great compliment to Villa. He's the second. He has to be the second leading goal scorer on the team. I mean, he scored so many.
Yeah,
to be him. It has to be Villa, Harrison, and I think Jack. Then Tommy McNamara.
Probably, yeah.
So this
I don't know.
This is a move to Stoke. People are suggesting. Who was it? Ives Galarsep from. Yeah. He wrote on Goal.com that Stoke are interested in making a bid, that they made a bid that was initially rejected.
Yeah, I think they made a $3 million bid. That got rejected. It looks like it went up to about 4.5.
Yeah, NYCFC is the Independiente of Major League Soccer.
Yeah, he's not going nowhere. No. You don't have to do the accent.
No, that's how we talk now, okay?
Yeah, Vieira. Button up your shirt a little bit.
A little too much chest here, buddy.
Buddy. Also, why are you eating that much grilled meat? Oh, you're Argentinian now.
So I think they went went back with, I think, a $4.5 million bid, but the incentives that could push it to $6 million.
Based on playing.
Based on play.
And achievements.
Now, Jack Harrison, originally, he was born at Stoke-on-Trent, right? And
he boogied out of there, though. He left. He moved to Bolton.
Yeah.
And then he eventually played
Manchester United Academy.
Manchester United Academy.
And then came to the U.S. And played, what was the school again?
Berkshire.
Berkshire's.
Yeah.
So I hear this and I'm just like, and it legitimately hurt me. I can't even stress how much I read this and I'm like, no, don't do this to me.
This is who you are. Okay, you're a good person, and you think the best of people, which is why you probably agreed to work with me.
Ill-advised, completely.
Oh, buddy, when you said yeah, I was like, that's his mistake. I'm going to drag his value down. I saw this coming a year ago. We got to meet him and know him personally, and we got to meet his mother and know her personally, and we can't think of someone who supported us more in the beginning. Then his mom, Deborah Harrison, is one of the greatest people I've ever met and had the luxury to consider a friend or an acquaintance. So I'm happy that, you know, she doesn't have to do the bounce back and forth between England. I'm sad that he's not a part of, you know, a team that we love to go see and that he's not a part of.
Not official yet.
It's not official yet, but it looks like all signs point to him not being here. And it's the reason why I'm kind of more excited than I am sad, even though I am very sad, is that this is going to become a normal part of life as a MLS fan. If what you said before is true, we're going to be waving goodbye to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be smashing champagne bottles in the front of a lot of cruise boats and not knowing if they're coming back. But I think Jack Harrison, in the tail end of his career, will want to come back and do what maybe he couldn't do here if he decides to leave right away and win an MLS Cup. I think so.
Yeah, that part of it is like if NYCFC win an MLS Cup and Jack Harrison's not there, just it wouldn't feel the same, right?
We got to send him a ring if we win one.
I know. Yeah, at least a picture of one.
Yeah. You see what that looks like? Could have been yours, buddy. There's a burger in the mail. Don't eat it.
But no, I imagine a lot of teams will feel when Almirón eventually leaves. I mean,
it'll be sad.
It'll be sad. Atlanta United fans are going to feel hurt.
We should honor the part of their history that of our history as a league and whatever team it is that they played for, whoever you love, that they were a part of it.
Exactly. And that's exactly how you feel about Alexis Sanchez of Arsenal.
Good riddance, playing the damn piano. Who the fuck do you think you are? But I've always wanted to be here. Bruh, you thought you were going to City for months. You agreed to, you told City you were coming last summer. And all of a sudden, I've always wanted to play for Mourinho. Bruh, you didn't know that was an option until about a day ago. How dare you, you disgusting human being. I hope one of your dogs runs away. Not both, because I want you to look at it and remember.
You're not a monster. You wouldn't wish that. Interesting, the different tone that you had. So look, we're adjusting. We'll figure that out. We're recording this on Tuesday. When you hear this on Wednesday, it might have already happened.
News might have broke.
It might. Yeah. So who knows? Just know that if that news does break, I will be in the fetal position in this studio crying.
If that news breaks, so will Christian's water.
So will my self-esteem. Yeah. So a couple other things that transfers. Huge news. The Philadelphia Union. Just the fact that they picked up a phone.
What? They went to work. My God.
The fact that they punched in is enough to be excited about for Philadelphia Union fans.
You know they were looking at their phones going, should I even answer it? You know what I mean? Like, they weren't sure they wanted to do work. Buddy, in Philly, something got done.
Yeah, during the draft, the Chicago Fire have traded away David Akam to the Philadelphia Union.
Completely unexpected. No one saw this coming.
How much money was it?
It's $1.3 million altogether, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I don't know the numbers, but they traded Tam and Gam or something. And Gam.
They weren't using it.
Yeah.
So you might as well trade it. In the end, it actually ends up being kind of like, you know, we joked around about the fact that they weren't spending any money and they weren't gonna, and this is what they're going to do. They're going to trade away all of their stuff because all their TAM again, because they're not going to use it anyway. But in the end, you're like, well, I mean, look, you made good out of a bad situation. Here's the issue, though. He's only got a year left on his contract.
He is not staying with the Philadelphia Union for more than a year.
So you gave away 1.2. There it is. 1.2 million in allocation money. 300,000 of it was general and 900,000 was TAM. Yo, you gave away 1.3 million for a year of David Akam?
I think they were just at a point where they were just like,
the fan base was going to revolt.
The fan base was just going to...
He's like, look, if the Eagles don't win the Super Bowl, I mean, this is going to be bad, you know?
They, I think this feels like a decision where they were just like, look, whatever offer you put on this table, if it's even mildly tempting, we're going to take it.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, a huge move, though. Disappointing for a lot of Chicago Fire fans. You know, Nicole Hack, who you know, member of Section 8 supporters out in Chicago, was tweeting at us. Just I didn't want to say just a bunch of swear words. She was just angry that this move even happened to begin with.
Twitter wouldn't even show it. Twitter just said censored.
They were like, redacted. Nicole, you got to tone it down because we've never heard this kind of language on the internet.
Calm yourself down.
So, but absolutely,
go in the other room and get yourself together.
Philadelphia Union fans, you're excited about this. For Chicago Fire fans, was David Akam becoming an issue? Did they not want to risk losing him for nothing? It seems like that was the case, where they were just like, well, at least we'll get some money to move forward. But a huge, huge loss. And you have to think, how is this going to affect the team? The good sign, Bastian Schweinsteiger re-signed. He is coming back for another year. But when you think of what David Akam offered with pace, with how people always had to watch him, defenders always had to you know, keep an eye on him. Honestly, the person I'm worried about the most, is your boyfriend Nemanja Nikolic, because you know that a lot of those goals that he got were because a lot of focus was put on Akam. I mean, he's the Golden Boot leader, but you need to have you know, other your attacking partners.
He's not on an island. He does that. He's also more of a poacher and a front of goal guy. So that happens because people are sort of drawn to other places, and he gives himself some space. You hope that Baquero can come in and make a difference, but you know, Baquero's slow as hell. Like, he doesn't have the pace. Maybe there's other people there that we don't know about that can sort of, you know, pick up that load. But losing Akam, but it's 1.2 million. You were going to lose him in a year anyway.
Yeah, so
you cashed him in for the most you were going to get. And if you're Philly, you're in a bad situation because you know everyone knows you got to sell your TAM.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know you're not going to get a good deal. Like, this was bad moves all the way around for Philadelphia. This was bad moves. You don't put yourself out there as I need, because everyone is like, oh, well, I'm going to be a shark in that water and I'm going to try to get as much out of you as possible. And that's exactly what happened. They ended up getting a great player. Can they keep Akam there? Absolutely not. Are they going to be able to pay Akam to stay there? Absolutely not. Is he going to stay a year after that? Probably not. So at the end of the day, you bought him for something you weren't going to use for a year. And you're not gonna go past that. And Chicago got what they could get, and they got more than they probably should have gotten. So everyone kind of made out good, but also it sucks for everybody. I don't understand this is a good deal.
This move is solely for, I think, for both teams almost, is solely for what can we do in 2018?
Yeah.
And let's make the most of it. Philly, is this a move that can get them into the playoffs? Probably not. I don't see that because they were very bad last year. But still an exciting move. I'm excited to see David Akam play play with CJ Sapong.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun. So we'll see. Next up, Ola Kamara made it very clear, wanted to get the hell out of Columbus before they go to Austin. And now he's officially a LA Galaxy player.
Yo, Justin Miram is like, wait, I thought we were going together. We both put in our transfer requests.
Thelma and Louise, I thought we were supposed to go together.
He's sitting in the passenger seat like, who's going to drive off the cliff?
But the move happens, a swap, a trade with Ola Kamara for Giazzy Zardes, and I believe $300,000 or $400,000in some sort of allocation money. Garbage bucks.
I don't know. Giazzy Zardes, is he going to be able to, you know, sort of go back to the player that he was? I don't know. It's a tough place to go is Columbus and try to rebuild your, your reputation.
I don't know why.
There's just so much happening there that's going to be hard for him to focus on what he's doing.
Yeah, and I wanted to, we talked about the Save the Crew and a lot of stuff, and you know, it's still an ongoing situation.
One of those stickers, if Save the Crew is listening. Oh yeah, those stickers.
But this Federico Higuain was on ESPN last week for MLS Media Week or whatever.
Yeah,
and Max Berrios did ask him this question about what he thought about the whole situation, and Federico Higuain kept it absolutely real. Did you see this?
He kept it 100. I actually read the transcript.
I just want to play it real quick for the listeners. Here's Federico Higuain talking to Max Berrios.
With the Columbus Crew and the talks that it might be, you know, the team might be moving, and there was a lot of very apasionado, gente. How did you see it? Have you had conversations with the fans?
Yeah. I don't have it, but it's hard. Yeah. You know, it's to me, it's very difficult to understand. You know, because if this happened in Argentina, maybe people die. Someone could die. You know,
if they took Nuevo Chicago, they're moving it to Rosario.
Of course. But here it's a different country, a different culture. It happened in NBA. I mean, baseball.
So that's basically
if it happened in Argentina, people die.
People will die.
And by the way, it would. Could you imagine you told the Boca Juniors fans, hey, we're moving you out of Boca? Now we're moving you out of the Boca neighborhood, even just to the neighborhood next door where like River is and where the money is. That was like the suburban ones. Could you imagine the fire bombings that would happen? Cars would be exploding.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it'd be Fallujah real fast.
It would. He's not wrong. And I think he's being honest. And maybe he didn't get in trouble for this one because he didn't seem to pick a side.
Yeah, he said
it's difficult. And it also must be just difficult for him to understand. It's kind of like reminds me of the first time I saw one of my white friends say, "No, mom." And I was like, here it comes.
Oh, boy.
And they didn't get hit. And I was like,
whoa.
This is very difficult for me. It's different because if I do it right,
it's a very different culture. I don't understand.
I die if I do that. I die. I die right there. I have a chancleta in my mouth and I die.
My mom kills me and she has another son who is more well-behaved.
Someone who has, you have a child who has honor. And that is not what happened here. It's exactly the same. You know, he's looking around like, When do the gunshots start? And it's not happening.
Yeah, and it is interesting being in that position. And Higuain is a different kind of player where he's Argentinian. He came to Major League Soccer when it wasn't a league that was bumping. Yeah. You know, he's not one of the highest paid players or whatever. His brother is one of the highest paid players in the world out in Juventus.
You do you, brother.
Higuain is a different kind of guy where he's like, I'm low key. I like living in Columbus. Nobody really knows who I am. He does not want to leave Columbus. He's in a tough position where he does not want to be traded. He loves his life there.
Yeah, he wants to stay there.
And he wants the team to stay there, but he can't be very vocal about that.
No, he's not in a position where he can say those things, but he can let the fans know. And this was his way of letting the fans know, like, look, I can't necessarily side with you, but I can voice the same opinion as you. This sucks.
Yeah.
And I think he did that with a lot of decorum. And I'm very happy that, a lot of the players seem to be finding ways to get their real feelings out without sort of making it more difficult themselves.
Yeah, he can't be like, pre-court's an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, I met the guy, you know. He told me about Austin day one.
He says, no checks, I hate him.
Yeah. I mean, can one of you guys buy the team? You know, he doesn't do that.
Yeah, but seeing that from some of the players, we had, who was Santos, right? The other player last week, that that also, you know,
his brother
at the wedding. So, but seeing that, like, some of the players are going to, especially this season, it's probably going to be almost every game. They're going to, some reporter is going to ask these questions, and it's something that they're going to have to, like, struggle with and maneuver.
If you thought Arsenal Fan TV was lit over the last 2 years, wait, wait for Save the Crew TV or whatever it is that they're going to do. The fan base during the games, because it's going to get sticky.
We're not at stage 17 right now, but I would have played this, but they did a YouTube video, Save the Crew, like PSA.
Yeah.
And it really, I mean, again, the more you watch this, and also even at the convention, this question came up a lot, and it's really hurting more and more day after day, just how, like, you see the passion from the Columbus Crew fans, and they're doing everything they can, where they're even telling people in the PSA told people in Austin to not support any initiatives that would bring the team over. So they're really, I mean, they're pleading and begging in any fashion that they can to keep their team in their city.
Yeah, it's going to get a little sticky and it's going to get rough, but hopefully that fan base can find a way to find something that makes it work for them, because I've said it on before, and I got heat from it from, excuse me, I got heat for it from one of the Crew fans, where they were like, oh, what a kind of a cold reaction to what's happening. It's not necessarily, I'm trying to be real.
From
everything we're seeing and hearing, and we're hearing the same thing as you guys. We don't have any inside information. It's not looking great. So, you know, I think much like with the Jack Harrison issue, it's like, let's start finding a way to sort of remove ourselves from this current situation. And what can we do moving forward to make sure that this doesn't happen again, or fix the house that we live in right now? Because part of it is leaving.
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense, but you know what I mean.
And just very quickly, I just want to cover, we did mention Kyle Larin at the top of the show. We don't know what's going on with him, but it's another nightmare for him.
Yeah. Besiktas said they were going to send him on loan. So now that's apparently done. He doesn't want to go to Besiktas anymore.
Yeah.
Now he's trying to work out a deal with Olympiacos.
But Besiktas, they had posted stuff on social media saying that he was with the team, and they had him with all the, like, medical, like...
Yeah, they put, like, the stickers on him, like the EKG stuff.
Yeah, he looked like Ivan Drago in Rocky. Like,
just a thumbs up. And he wore a Besiktas jersey. I mean, it looked like it was a done deal. It is not a done deal.
Yeah, so, and that was rumored that he was going to be put on loan. But he's still an Orlando City player. Nothing has happened. So I don't know what the hell's going on. Maybe next week we'll have a little bit more information. But this doesn't help with the state of just Orlando City. It's just constant disarray. They just can't figure stuff out. It's just so frustrating. And look, Fabian Castillo dealt with this kind of same thing when he went to Trabzonspor, right? But this seems worse. I don't know what it feels weirder, because it seems more disrespectful than ever.
Well, Kyle said that he would pay the $1.5 million acquisition fee on his own. He said he would drop that cash on his own just to get out of Orlando. So it looks like there's a lot of animosity between the player and the club. And
yeah.
I know if he doesn't work out a deal, I don't know that he can come back. So this could be bad. This could be bad for Kyle. This could be bad for the Canadian national team. He's going to change. He's going to Ed 3 also. Jonathan Gonzalez gone. Kyle Larin is switching. Everybody going to Ed 3.
So look, we'll hopefully we'll get more information next week. And hopefully we can make fun of Kyle Larin. That's really all.
It's always a lot of fun.
That's always what this podcast is.
But you do it on multiple podcasts. You bring us on ETR, we're going to do it. Why don't we do this? Why don't we get to our break? And then after the break, what a great interview we have.
Yes.
Someone that has been a fan of ours and a group that has supported us from day one. And we're happy to support Eboon and everything he does. Live, Breathe Football. If you don't know who these guys are, they're an amazing sort of design crew. They did all that cool sort of checkerboard stuff you saw for SKC come out. It's a lot of, like, collabs and a lot of stuff that's like, I guess it's more like capsule launches. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's soccer streetwear. So you just go to Eboon Olaloye, and he is he's from Philly. And he's a guy, like, I mean, kind of doing stuff on his own from the ground up. He built this company, and it's a soccer streetwear brand. They make great clothes, but we hung out with him at the Adidas Lounge at the Philadelphia Convention Center, and we got to hear, like, a different perspective on, you know, from the fashion world, from the fashion streetwear world in soccer. So so tune in to our conversation with Eboon
right after this. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to talk to you real quick about one of our sponsors.
SeatGeek, hooking us up again. Always looking out for the Cooligans. And they're also looking out for you. If you, when you use SeatGeek, you know, SeatGeek is the official ticketing sponsor for Major League Soccer. Again, we've always mentioned, if you want to go to soccer games, go to SeatGeek.com, get tickets over there. Also, but you can also get tickets to other events. You know, like I just got tickets for a Brooklyn Nets game. So you go on SeatGeek. Tickets, it compares prices on all other like ticketing sites, and I'm taking my girl to Nets game.
Bro, did you use the word Cooligans?
You know I used the promo code Cooligans for $20 off my first purchase.
So you got $20 off a pretty inexpensive ticket already because they found it at a great price?
Yeah, exactly, because it's also the Brooklyn Nets. You know how it is.
I mean, that's kind of what the fans need to do. Put in the word Cooligans, use it in the app, use it on SeatGeek.com, you get yourself $20. Yeah, baby, back on the Cooligans!
Oh, look at this. All right, we're still here. At the Adidas Predator booth.
We ain't leaving.
with LBF.
With LBF. You didn't even let me finish.
Oh, my fault.
That's the thing, is that Alexis cuts me off at every single moment.
Yeah, and now you're doing it, so it ain't just me.
But we are here, with Live, Breathe Football. And these are just a great group of guys, but the main person, the man in charge, I mean, I hope it's accurate. I don't know.
We have no idea. We didn't look at the org chart before we started.
I don't know if there's a silent partner who has some influence.
Yeah.
But no, we are here of Live, Breathe Football. Yes, we're here with Ebune.
Ebune, baby.
What's up, fellas?
What's good, man?
Dude, you are making major moves. We were on your show, about like 8 months ago?
Yeah, about that.
You were making some big moves. We were there right as you were getting started with the Sporting Kansas City, which went wild.
I mean,
how does that feel to see something that you worked hard? Because, like, as comics, we say something and then we hear it right away.
Right, it's instant
feedback.
So for
you, there's a bit of a delay.
You have
wait for production. You ask your friends what it looks like. How did it feel to see everyone just love it?
I mean, it was surreal, right? Because when you're creating it, right, you're so immersed in it, sometimes you lose perspective.
Right.
And then you go, okay, well, we've spent all this time. I just hope people like it. Right? Like, you can do all that work and people are like, eh. But then instead, they were like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And that's kind of really opened the door for more awesome things that we're working on. So, yeah, it's definitely an awesome time to be part of the LBF crew.
That's for sure.
And Live, Breathe Football, maybe you can talk a little bit about it's the inception of it. I mean, for me, look, there's a lot of, like, dope Instagram accounts. And there's, like, there's soccer clothes. There's that soccer hype beast sort of culture.
Soccer boy swag, starter kits, you know.
A little Gucci gang. All right. We know about it.
We know about it.
But it feels different. There's you guys are from Philly.
Yeah.
And how did this begin? Because I know not only, I worked in fashion for a little bit.
Yeah. I remember the stories.
Yeah. So my dude was working for Sean Jean.
So I kind of saw how it worked behind the scenes, but what is it like for a soccer streetwear brand?
I mean, it's been a long time coming, right? So we're pretty much going into our seventh year in business, right? I started this when I was a junior in college, right? It's my 21st birthday, so I had no idea what I was doing.
Was this like a class project? Or?
No, it was just I turned 21 and I was like, yo, I don't want to graduate.
I'm going to be a mogul right now.
Right, I don't want to work
Quick,
for anyone
else.
Quick,
give me a fur coat. We don't have one. Just wait, I'm going to get one.
Yeah, where's the Ferrari at? But I kind of started because, like, you know, I remember at the time, there was really nothing fashionable for, like, soccer, right? And the issue for me was, right, this beautiful game that we all love so much, that has so much color, so much culture, and so much potential, it just wasn't represented in the products that I saw out there, right? There was no Ralph Lauren for soccer, right? There was no Stone Island. There was no cool brands that were, like, just inspired by soccer. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to make that. I'm going to make the stuff that, like, I like wearing, but, like, has that soccer twist and that inspiration behind it. And back then, you know, we didn't – everything that happened now with the soccer, with Instagram, soccer hype, all that, none of that existed when we started,
right? That's way new.
So we just kind of started, and, like, obviously it took some time for people to really understand the concept, but, like, I'm glad to really see where, like, the whole – not even just us, but, like, the whole entire soccer culture – the Instagram, the whole vibe. I'm happy to see where it's gotten to.
And what's the response – what has the response been from the other, like – because – When you think of streetwear brands, you so immediately associate it with like hip hop, basketball.
Your Supremes and all
but
that.
But I'm sure what's been happening is that the people who are fans of that part of the culture, even of other sports, are looking at LBF and like, oh, yo, this is kind of fly. Why? How come I don't see this in my neighborhood? Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, for me, one of the things I love most about doing our brand is when people who don't like soccer be like, yo, that's dope, because it's one thing for people who like soccer to love your stuff. It's another thing for people to just be like, that's just cool. period.
That's just generally cool.
And that's really what like lets us know, okay, we've got something cool here. Like, let's really expand on that and let that keep growing.
We've been huge proponents of LBF.
Yeah.
And you guys have been big supporters of ours. And I think the reason why is we are the same exact sort of company, same thought process in different realms.
100%.
We want, when people who don't like soccer laugh at our jokes about MLS or whatever's happening or Europe, we're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like they're feeling us. Like we're trying to expand. We're trying to show the rest of the world, look at all the cool stuff that does happen in soccer. Right. You're doing it from like the clothing perspective. We're trying to show people, look how much fun this is. Look how funny this is.
Right.
And I don't know that we could have done it in a vacuum.
Right.
And now we're both in this world. We're like Instagram, all this. So many more people are shining a light into what some of the similar things we do. Mm-hmm. So now it's like we're all, but you guys are just taking off on another level. I mean, you know, this is beautiful. You have this whole Predator setup. If you guys happen to be in Philly, you saw it. If not, I mean, you got local artists. You do it for Philly.
Right.
We always talk about, we joke around saying we're doing it for the culture, right? You actually are doing it for the culture. You could have gone to LA. You could have gone to New York.
Right, right.
You do it for Philly. You care about Philly. Why?
You know, it's Philly has such an amazing energy, right? And it's like people just need to see that, right? LA has Hollywood and all that, right? New York is just New York, right? New York is just dope, period, right? Yeah. But it's like Philly's cool. Philly has its own energy to it. And like a few people have made it out of Philly to the, you know, Meek Mill's from Philly. Like Meek Mill is as authentic and as real as you can ever get.
Free Meek Mill.
Free Meek, by the way.
They dropped the case, yo. Let him out.
But that's the thing for us is like, you know,
hold on a second. Don't free Beanie. The streets are safe for now without him, yeah.
Shout out to the whole state property fam, yo.
Shout out to Beans, I love you.
But no, you know, like, this is where we're from, and this is where the inspiration from the brand comes from, and it's important that, like, we stick to that, because once you leave somewhere else, you're trying to, like, chase something, right? And, like, sometimes you get lost in that. It's like, I think what we have here is amazing, and I want to build on that, you know?
Yeah.
That's awesome. One
question I wanted to ask, because when you start a soccer streetwear brand, I can imagine similar when we started a comedic soccer podcast. People were like, you know, in the comedy world was like, you gonna talk about soccer? Like, what are you gonna? We got 10 minutes, and then then the podcast is over.
Right.
What was the response? I'm sure there must have been not necessarily haters, but people that were skeptical of the idea of a soccer streetwear brand. What were some of the negative things that you heard?
So I remember there's a website called Nike Talk, right, that I used to go on when I was a kid, right? This is when, like, the hundreds first started. Like, all these brands that are big now, like, I saw when they kind of
That's
used to be on Nike Talk.
That's how people found out about exclusives back in the day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I posted the first LBF shirt that we did, and someone was like, yo, why would you limit it to soccer? And that question baffled me so much. I'm like, bro, it's the biggest sport in the world.
Limit to soccer.
Right. Like, there's more soccer fans in the world than Christians or Muslims.
Yeah, that's
period.
Like saying, where are you going to find
sunlight?
It's
the biggest
sunlight.
Religion in the world. Exactly. It's like, why? Yeah. So for us, it was like, what do you mean? So for me, it's just been like, it makes sense to me. And that's kind of what inspires me. It's like, okay, this makes sense to me. And let me see if anyone else has the same, you know, feeling about this thing. And so far, I think we've proved that people care about a soccer streetwear brand, you know?
Dude, you're in a lot. You know, pants, those joggers and stuff I got, they're amazing. The Maestro jacket, you've got clothing. What's hats? You do capsule launches almost for brands like Sporting Kansas City. What is next for you guys? Where do you see the brand taking off? Is that fur coat coming? Is there an LBF fur coat? Like, what do you see? What do you see for yourself next?
So I think there's three phases to the brand, really, and you know, you kind of touched on all of them. The first one is really continuing to innovate on product. Like, when I first started, the first LBF shirt was printed on like a $2 Anvil tee. It was black, you washed it, it became gray, right?
Yeah.
And then for me, it was like, okay, let's find better blanks. And then now it's like, we're making our own fabrics. And I don't think people understand just how difficult that is. Like, the latest collection is completely, like, not just cut and sew, like, we're milling the fabrics from scratch. Like, we're saying, we want this much cotton, we want this much polyester. Like, we're making that from scratch. So really pushing the product innovation from that perspective. The second thing is, you know, our brand was born on social media, but for me, what really, like, makes LBF is, like, seeing people and having people come out and experience the brand in a very, like, real way. So that's the second facet. And the third facet is, like, this Adidas thing, where we can be, like, an experienced design company and say, look, we're creative dudes, period. Like, we don't limit that creativity to just clothing or just, you know, having tournaments. It's like, yo, Adidas can call us and say, yo, let's do something cool. And we can say, yo, we have artists in Philly. We have local DJs. We have the capabilities to build out a space that, in my opinion, is the best, you know, activation space in this entire convention, simply because, like, that's what's in our mind. And we just kind of have to figure out how to get it done. So for me, that's really what's next, is to keep going down this path and saying, look, there's dope events you can do besides just like, oh yeah, let's have a little tournament, let's have some soccer balls. Like, no, like really give people that experience and mix streetwear, mix culture with soccer.
Yeah, you know? And it is interesting because and I know you do a lot. You do a lot of work with like either youth academies. I see you on your Instagram and stuff like that. What do you feel is your duty or responsibility, especially now that the brand is growing, to almost grow the sport of soccer in itself?
It's funny you asked that question because Danny and I, one of our guys, were talking about this last night. And for me, it's to really change the complexion of soccer in America, right?
Literally.
As literally as possible, right?
Because, I want some Babaludrums out there.
Because think about it, right? We all watch the game we all fell in love with. We're Arsenal fans, right? You know, like, we're fans of the game.
Everton over here, right, bro.
But even Everton, right? Like, you watch our favorite soccer players are Hispanics and black people, and like sometimes white people. Like, there's sort of a very like mixed,
very
diverse like look to the game. And then you come to soccer in America, and you're like, wait, it's not really translating.
Looks like a ski lift.
Right. You know, so which is why for me is like in our pictures on our Instagram and every sort of thing we do, I make sure it feels like when I was at Temple playing soccer, and we literally called it the United Nations because it's like, it's dudes from like Eastern Europe, it's dudes from Africa, it's dudes from, York, PA. Like, everyone is such an eclectic mix of people. It's like soccer in America has to reflect that. And until that happens, in my opinion, we won't really be this soccer powerhouse that we all want
to
be.
And it's our job to push that.
Right, and say, like, look, this is important. Like, you can't ignore half your talent pool.
Well, like in New York,
you know what I mean?
If you go to like New York specifically, like Brooklyn, you go to a pickup game in Brooklyn, there's mad Jamaicans, mad Caribbeans playing. Then you go to an academy match, and you don't see those same dudes, and you don't see those dudes' kids. Yeah, and I think it's not necessarily that there's too many of the other. No, it's that I think there's more room for everybody.
Right.
And I think that's something that we're really cognizant of. Somebody made a joke last night about us at the comedy show, and they were like, oh, a Dominican and a Cuban, real big soccer nations, right? And we're like hosting a soccer show. But like that's what's beautiful about what we're doing. It's like we're helping, like, people are like, oh, it's because you're Hispanic, you like soccer. I'm like, dog, Dominicans and Cubans? Like,
that's not really the thing.
You guys are bigger into baseball, right?
Yeah. Everyone in our family is like, why are you kicking it? Pick it up. Curveball, baby. Hit it with a bat. You know, and the truth is that, like, we're building it because we come from the inner city. Like, it's for us, we saw it as, like, a street culture thing, and now the rest of the world, the rest of this country has it, and they will, and it's because of guys like you that are helping that along.
Right. And,
absolutely.
And that's ultimately what I want to do is just, like, look, you know, like, when I play pickup and when I play in leagues, it's like the dudes that I'm playing with, like, there's a sort of a very eclectic mix of people. It's like, why isn't that being represented at a bigger scale on the mainstream level, if you want to call it that? Because until that happens, like, you can't ignore half your talent either through like socioeconomics or like
absolutely
race.
Now, are you ever have any plans to do like a pop-up in New York or something?
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah.
I would absolutely love to do a pop-up. That's one of our goals for this year, is to do more pop-up spaces.
We could help you with that, by the way. We know people.
Listen, find me a dope space and we'll like deck it out. Because,
no joke. We can help you with that.
Yeah, that would be really awesome.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, sure. Just because
this ain't even a podcast anymore. It's a business meeting.
Well, look, state property sign with Rockefeller.
Where's the dotted line, bro? Where's the pen? I'm ready to sign.
Sometimes, Petey Crack was in the studio in New York. Sometimes you got to get up there. One for Pretty Crack, two is for LBF.
Well, Boone, I know you got to go, but, dude, thank you so
much.
No,
I appreciate you guys.
For doing this, man. Thank
you for the space. Thank you for the love.
Awesome. No, man, this is dope. You guys keep doing your thing, man. You guys are crushing it out there.
Thank you, man. We try.
We're big fans of you guys at LBF, and, like, you guys are real. That's
appreciate
the best
it very
way
much.
To
where,
put
so
it,
So where man. Can people find you? Where can people get LBF clothing? Let everybody know.
So you
know.
Can get our clothing on livebreathefootball.com. We're also on soccer.com as well. Instagram at LB Football, that's FUTBOL. And then my personal Instagram is at Mr. LBF. So you can just find us all over the internet.
And please do that. Yeah, even if you just follow, if you want to follow just a dope, like, clothing brand and just even be just inspired.
See what they're doing. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's great, great
LBF.
Work.
LBF.
Awesome.
You can find them. They're friends of ours. Just go through all of our friends and stuff. You'll see them. Yeah. They're absolutely amazing.
Hooligans, man. Guys, appreciate
you so
much,
man.
Thank
you so
much, brother. Cheers.
Thank you, man. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Mike Coscarelli from Anxiety Now.
And Andrea Allen from the Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
We just launched the brand new OG Podcast Network and wanted to let you know that you can hear ours and other great shows by going to ogpodcastnetwork.com.
Also, be sure to follow the network on social media to keep up to date with new shows, videos, and live events.
That's at OG Podcasts on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Or you can subscribe to your favorite OG podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, that was E-Boone.
Oh, that was E-Boone.
What a great interview. We love Live Brief Football. And guess what? We might have a little something coming out soon. So keep a lookout for that. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. My name is Alexis Guerrero.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!